Hey, what's going on out there, Clipper folks? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Ooh, and I'm still pretty positive, Chuck Mockler.
I hope so, buddy, because I'm ready to rain on this parade. Anyways, we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, a couple of best friends, a couple of Clipper credential media people.
Oh, yeah, we did it.
Bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Be sure and check for it. Anyways, we're going to kick things off today with a recap of that loss to the Nets. Gotta be honest, a little bit of a heartbreaker.
It definitely was a heartbreaker. We'll get into it, but it was a heartbreaker, I will say, for most of the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not time to overreact. There just were some mistakes. That being said, keeping the game as close as it was, I still think is overall promising for the Clips.
For sure.
But we're going to break down what we liked in that one as well as what we didn't like and just talk about overall kind of how we're feeling. And then we have a back-to-back. So we've got a game preview for you for the action against the Cavs tomorrow night. Once again, we'll be breaking down what we need to do well as what could go wrong. Give you some key matchups to take a look at. And then it's Wednesday, which means what you say Wednesday, every single Tuesday, poll goes out on Twitter, and we just kind of want to know what you think. This one is, we've been talking about a little bit more on the podcast, but we wanted to know what you guys think. Do the Clippers need to make a trade? Hmm. So excited to talk about what you guys had to say about that, and then maybe just some shavings, you know, if they're around, if we have time. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so the Clippers fell 124-120 in Brooklyn. And yeah, so no Bev was a huge difference in this one. Nick Batum talked about it in his postgame presser. He said they missed Pat Bev tonight. I think it was pretty evident. You know, things probably would have gone differently if Pat Bev was out there. Not to say that Kyrie wouldn't have gone off, but maybe things would have been different. But let's start with what we liked, which Kawhi Leonard started out 5 of 5 in this game. He finished with 33, 5, 5, and 4 steals. He didn't shoot very well from deep, but, you know, 96% of Kawhi was there tonight.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he only had 5 attempts from deep, so it's like, to me, I'm not stressing about this. This is the difference between, like, I mean, if one more shot goes in, it's like, oh, man, he was great from
for
3.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's not a big enough of a sample size for me to really kind of freak out about. But, yeah, he was just really impactful on both sides of the floor. It's kind of, you know, once again, why it sucks to drop a game like this.
For sure.
PG almost won us this one.
Ooh, that was such a clutch shot.
Had it not been for, like, the clear path foul, I do think that he would have tied it up with that 3 off the assist from Batum. But he finished overall with 26, 4, and 6. There's some discourse on the internet that he somehow crumbled in this game, which I got to be honest.
Watch the game.
I'm not seeing. He was 3 of 7 from deep. If you think that PG crumbled on this one, go ahead at me. That's at Will Updike.
Don't
come out of the show account. Like, let's fisticuffs.
Go to the personal. Batum and Marcus Morris were crazy efficient from 3, combined 8 of 14 from deep. That was good to see. Like, Batum started off hot. I think he made our first 2 3-pointers, which was great.
Look, when we got it going, the deep ball was working great for us. We took 36 threes, we hit 15 of them. And honestly, like, when we were playing our game, you know, which is, I mean,
moving
can
the ball.
Yeah, it can at times be a slow, plodding half-court game, but there is a lot of ball movement. Things went really well.
That's what we need to do. We're a slow team right now.
I think we found success with some kind of post-ups and stuff early, and I think that it actually kind of spoiled us in a way where we got outside of what our game is. I don't think that it was great overall for the offense.
We got sucked into their game a little bit. And at times our defense looked really locked in and ready to challenge the Nets kind of big 3, but it is, difficult to stop KD, Harden, and Kyrie. I think KD went 11 of 13 and the 13 shots that KD took were contested. Was hitting literally almost every single shot.
It's like the Warriors post game that we promise you we tried.
Swear to God we tried. And also Kyrie talked about in the post game that he took that Wizards loss personally, so there was added motivation from the Nets from that standpoint on the defensive side of the ball. Let's get into what we didn't like. I'll let you lead this one off.
Look, I think Batum was great in this game. like, I think the minute load was kind of crazy. Look, he finished with 21-6.
Yeah.
But he played 38 minutes.
He said he was only supposed to play like 20 to 24 or something in the postgame.
For his first game back, I mean, that is just to me. Look,
we needed it, but it sucks.
One of those things that we've talked about being a compliment to Ty Lue is that, like, he plays the regular season like he's prepping for the playoffs. And I don't know how much closer you could have gotten, really, to a playoff sort of at least rotation in this one. I mean,
yeah,
we basically only played 8 guys
game. Kennard played 4 minutes in the beginning and then was done.
So yeah, Kennard played only 4 minutes, which is a bit of a head-scratcher, just once again, given... I mean, the minute loads were really heavy, but I think something that played into that was we could not really take advantage of what I had perceived as arm mismatches at the five.
We didn't do it right.
We just didn't do it. Zoo was objectively bad in this game. I believe he had the second worst plus minus on the team in just 16 minutes. I cannot count how many times he got backdoor cut. Like, he just isn't always aware on the floor. I think it's like one of those things where...
He's a hot and cold player, it feels like, in terms of awareness.
I also think sometimes defensively, like, he can listen to what you tell him, but, like, he doesn't necessarily have the awareness. Like, it was almost like the opposite of what was happening in the Hawks games, where he was dropping real low on those pick and rolls and, like, getting fucking roasted.
Yeah.
And then this one, he was, like, trying to play super close on, like, a hedge and then, like, just getting the back, like, getting backdoor cut.
Yeah.
Super, super hard. He finished with 2 points, 3 rebounds, but had 2 turnovers and 4 personal
fouls.
And
he got beat up for some rebounds where it was just like, dude, how are you not getting this board?
Yeah.
It was a tough go for Zoo tonight.
Yeah, that one was a head scratcher for me. I mean, we ended up just going small, really, for the majority of the fourth quarter with, you know, Zoo and Serge off the floor for a lot of the time. Serge struggled around the basket, man. There's no way around it. He was 2 of 9 from 2-point range.
We were also getting hosed by the refs, but I do agree that this was the complete opposite of what we thought was going to happen in the game preview.
Look, if you told me that we were going to...
They started Jeff Green.
If you told me that they were going to start Jeff Green, we were going to get beat in rebounds and break dead even in points in the paint, I would have said you're a fool.
It was a great move by Steve Nash. DeAndre Jordan played Zubats a lot better than he would have played Serge in that starting lineup, which I think was a big thing too.
Definitely, definitely. We struggled with pace on both ends of the floor, which killed me.
Defensively, we were just losing guys on the pick and roll and like out on the perimeter. There's some boneheaded stuff in this game.
Yeah,
like we talked about, Durant just being 11 to 13, which didn't happen.
Totally, totally. But we just had some issues getting back, staying in front of guys. And I also thought, like, offensively, we did okay. I think we had 22 points off of 17 Nets turnovers. It just felt like there were still times we were failing to exploit situations on that offensive end. And we just couldn't match their pace offensively
overall.
And
we shouldn't have tried, is
that's
my
the
thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was the only time we were matching it was like the shot quality was terrible in those situations. And that just leads me to the biggest thing for me was like just unforced errors and poor decision making.
Yeah.
Fouling Harden at the 3-point line.
Multiple times.
Never going to be a good call.
Backing down Harden in the post. Kept
elite
happening.
Post defender.
He's a very good post defender. And we were getting switches early, you know? Like, we were getting Kawhi on Joe Harris, and it was like, this is great. He hit 5 of his 5 shots early when we were kind of had it figured out. And then, I mean, it just...
Yeah, it's across the board. Like, Kawhi
was a
would,
great game, too.
Kawhi would try to back down James Harden and then not exploit the mismatch when he had Kyrie on him at times. I don't know. And once again, it wasn't the only poor shot in the game, but that Reggie... pull up 3 early in the shot clock, fourth quarter.
Yeah, PG had a really bad shot selection too.
Yeah.
The refs were garbage in this one. I think that's another thing we haven't talked about yet. But Paul George had 1 free throw attempt. He called it disrespectful in the post game, and I'm inclined to agree with the guy on that. Kawhi got hit in the face by Kyrie Irving on a 3-point attempt. No call.
Yeah, Morris got clocked.
Yeah, by Harden twice. But also, there were some frustrating things in this game for sure. But you know, it's the Nets. We ran into kind of the best version of their big three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today, which was tough. They lost by 4. I'm feeling bummed out, but not, you know, it's like, I mean, it was 4 points. We played pretty wonky looking at sometimes, and we're winning during that time. So it's like, you know, we try and stay away from that term encouraging loss, but this was not a discouraging one, I guess.
Yeah, look, I mean, this game...
Other than Luke Kennard, but we'll talk about that in the third segment.
We played it close in a 7-game series. I don't think there's any way Durant goes 11 for 13. in seven games. Maybe, though. Who knows? It's fucking Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I feel good. I mean, it was an electrifying game. It was a really fun watch. We just have a little further to go, I guess, than I thought.
Yeah, for sure. But also, not too far, thankfully.
Yes.
Coming up, we're going to be previewing the hopeful bounce back game we can get against the Cavs. But first, got to give a shout out to CBDMD. The holidays are finally behind us, the major ones, which means it's time to catch up on some much needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on DeAndre Hunter. Wow. CBDMD has a product called CBDPM that blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. If you want to relax a little bit before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience, and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as a soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. To make it even easier to get your start off right, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Okay, so we're back with segment two, and we're talking the game preview. Second night of the back-to-back, it's Clippers taking on the Cavs.
Whew.
This is going to be a test.
This is a rough game to have as a second night of a back-to-back.
I was
going to
say, this is not a matchup you really want on the second night of a back-to-back.
No, the Cavs are 10-11, but obviously have some impressive wins. One notable impressive win over the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, let's just get right into it. The Cavs, what we need to do well, the Cavs are not a three-point shooting team.
Yeah.
By every metric. They only take 27 a game, which is dead last in the league. They're only, quote-unquote, shooting 35%, which is like 27th right now in the league from three. They take 62-pointers a game, which is third in the league.
That's just thinking about the future.
It's
gone past the three-pointer, back to the two-pointer.
It's full wormhole right now. So we have to establish dominance in the paint against a team that has two pretty good in the traditional sense, centers, Drummond and Jared Allen, and then Sexton takes the second most two-point attempts on the team too. So that's going to be big. Like, just, we're going to need a bounce-back game from both Serge and Zoo, offensively for Serge, and kind of all over the board for Zoo, if we don't want to have to kick this one into some weird high gear that we have, but I don't necessarily want to use it.
No, totally, and I do see this as being a. These are the kind of matchups that Zoo likes, which, you know,
yes.
I thought would have been the same situation with DeAndre Jordan, but, you know, who knows?
Here we are.
And I think a big thing we have to do is just move the ball really well. We need to use the pass instead of our legs. It's the second night of a back-to-back. This Cavs team is bottom 10 in the NBA in terms of assists. So, you know, we need to make them work defensively as well as work a lot harder to get those shots off offensively.
Yeah.
The Cavs are a good defensive team, which we'll talk about more in the next little segment. But they're only average in overall opponent field goal percentage. So, like, when teams can actually generate shots, you know, they're hitting them at an okay clip.
Yeah. This Clips team is usually a pretty good clip.
And even more good news for this Clips team, this Cavs team is bottom 10 in opponent three-point percentage.
Hey.
So obviously taking advantage of that would be great. I'd love to see even more than 36 threes in this one.
Definitely.
But yeah, like I said, force them to work on both ends of the floor. They don't allow a lot of assists. They're in the top half of the league in that regard. But hey, that comes into what could go wrong.
And that's what we kind of saw against the Nets, too, is the ball got sticky. Right?
Yeah.
Like, there were, I think in the first quarter against the Nets, we had 9 3-point attempts. In the second quarter, we had six.
Six.
One of which was like a heave at the end of the quarter. So when the ball gets sticky, it's not good for the Clippers. The Cavs have the 7th best defensive rating so far this season and the number one opponent turnover percentage. So if we don't take care of the ball and we give a team that is led by Colin Sexton underdog hope, that you're just doing your best to help the Cavs in this one.
You know,
like, this is not a team that's going to roll over, obviously.
Yes. Yes. We got to control the turnovers again, take care of the ball. We only had 8 turnovers in that Nets game.
Love it.
Which
God, that
great.
Game was, oof, God. It's a tough game.
It's a tough game.
The Nets are so damn good.
The Cavs are averaging the second most steals in the league, so you know we need to mitigate some of that length. Just keep those passes on a string a little bit more.
That's a good call.
Than we can sometimes see from this team. There's a weird thing about the Cavs, right? So obviously this defense is great, and it's creating the majority of their offense. They're scoring 19% of their points off turnovers,
what?
Which is first in the NBA.
By like how much? By like 12%? Like that's insane.
By a hearty percent.
Okay.
It's actually the Grizzlies are kind of right up there, too. Hey, whatever. It's still a
it's
lot.
It's still a lot, dude.
Still first in the NBA.
Yeah.
Got to make sure and control the turnovers in that one because they will punish us. What matchup should we be looking for in this one?
We talked about it off top, but Serge and Zoo versus Jared Allen and Andre Drummond. The Cavs, you know, compared to the Clippers, the 1-2 punch of Serge and Zoo is usually very good, if not the best 1-2 center punch in the league. But the Cavs have a really good one too. So we're kind of running head on into that. We get more shooting from the five than they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really interesting to see how Ty Lue kind of figures out these Serge minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to draw Serge out, because right now Serge is not playing well in the post right now. So I would love it if Serge was drawn out a lot more. And then that opens things up too when Allen's out of the paint. Like the Cavs have some interesting matchup stuff to figure out with our bigs. And then Zoo versus Drummond. It's going to be like watching two large dinosaurs just run into each other a bunch. And I think that's going to be a fun time.
Definitely, definitely. I'm not sure how they're going to mitigate our forwards. I mean, like...
We got some good guys over there.
Like, I don't know, Isaac Okoro and Larry Nance, if he ends up playing, are going to have some work cut out for them, as will Jetty Osman and Taurean Prince trying to, control the onslaught and the staggering that is... Batum.
Of course, we all know who we're talking about here.
That is Kawhi, Paul George, and Batum, and Marcus Morris, and any of the wealth of forwards that we have.
I'm interested to see how Ty Lue comes at this one, and if we see some more Kennard. We didn't see any Terrence Mann.
We will see more
game.
Than 4 Kennard minutes in this game. I will bet you that.
And I bet we'll see more than 0 Terrence Mann minutes, which we saw none of Terrence Mann in the Nets game.
He wasn't ready for this game.
He wasn't at all. That's a very good point. Prediction for this one. What do you got?
I don't think the Clippers are ready to drop 2 in a row just yet.
For sure.
Even on the second night of a back-to-back after a hard-fought loss, big minutes from guys just returning to the lineup. I think the Clippers can put this one away. I'm hoping they do so semi-comfortably.
That's a good call. I think the Clips got this one, too. I don't want Pat Bev to play in this game since we have a very difficult game against the Celtics on Friday after this. Really hope we see some good bench play. I hope Lou Will can find his footing or, you know, at least put his foot in the shoe to try and find the footing. He could eventually get in there because the passing has looked good, but the scoring obviously hasn't been the same. I guess I'm hoping the same for Luke Kennard, too. There's some guys who could get on track in this game.
He did not get a chance to really get a rhythm in that Nets game.
No, for sure. But I'd like him to get that chance.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the Clippers take this one. I think it's by like 8 points.
Huh?
It's going to be weird. It's going to be a weird 8. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Let us know what you think at Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're talking What You Say Wednesday. If Clippers fans want to do a trade, we're also going to be talking about what the heck needs to happen with Luke Kennard, which we've talked about, feels like at least weekly. But first, Will. Betting on sports, how can I do it? Where can I do it?
The only place that has you covered and the only place we trust is betonline.ag.
Oh, yeah.
They got a great deal. If you sign up today for a free account on betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Look, I know that we're all ready for some football. Super Bowl is coming up. I mean, it's just coming up this weekend. So get your prop bets in. Bet on some weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. You can bet on which coach is going to have their nose exposed from their mask first.
That's
a real bet.
That seems like a good bet. Yeah. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Arians because he usually wears the face mask, and I think that gives you a little lean. You know, he has the face mask. He has the shield.
He's got
and
the shield.
Mask, so
gotcha.
He's going to get some nose hubris.
That sounds like a good bet.
That's a positive Chuck lock of the week.
That sounds like a good bet. Anyways, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit on betonline.ag. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, welcome to What You Say Wednesday, Trade Edition. put that poll out on Tuesday on Twitter at Locked On Clips. Go ahead and vote up for it. I asked people if they still wanted a trade. I said, do the Clippers need to make a trade? 696 people voted. We appreciate the votes. Kind of knew which way this one was going to go, which kind of, it's flipped from the beginning of the season pretty hard. 68% of the voters, so close, said no. 32% said yes. The people who said yes had some interesting reasons. There are people who think, I saw the point guard thing a couple times.
Of course.
I saw third.
What point guard? Did they drop the name of the point guard we could get?
There are no names ever dropped. Well, there's no names dropped with actual examples.
Okay.
People are like, oh, Terry Rozier. And you're like, how?
You got to come up with $17 million.
With a lot of money. I saw the point guard thing. I saw third center, which I don't really get.
Honestly, maybe after this Nets game.
Okay, come on. We thought maybe Patterson should have gotten some minutes at the five.
Who knows? Against
Jeff
Green?
Center. And then the only like kind of rational, tangible one was a couple people mentioned the George Hill for Lou Will trade.
Of course.
But George Hill, as we all know, is now out for 4 weeks because he's getting a procedure done on his hand.
Yes.
So
surgery?
Yeah. The technical term.
I think he's getting a second thumb.
Yeah, he's getting six thumbs. Nothing in the rule book says you can't add appendages. But so that's kind of out the window because I don't see the Clippers trading for an on-the-mend George Hill at any point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, healthy Lou, well, mostly healthy Lou, is better than on-the-mend George Hill.
Yes, absolutely. Weird tangent.
Yeah.
What was that thing where people would always be like, eight fingers and two thumbs?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
When people would be like, how many fingers do you have? And you'd be like, 10, like a normal person. They'd be like, nah, dumbass.
Yeah.
Eight fingers and two
thumbs. One of those dickhead things? Yeah.
Are thumbs technically different fingers?
Yeah, they're thumbs.
I know, but what about pinkies? They're not called fingers.
They're called pinky fingers.
I call it a thumb finger.
All right, well, then that's fair. But 68% of people were rational. They said no to this question.
Yeah.
Which I think makes sense. I mean, I'm at no. Where are you at? Have you flipped? Are you a yes?
No, I'm at no, and once again, I keep bringing this up because I'm just not seeing a move that's an improvement that's realistic.
There's kind of ones that are like they're improvement in some areas, which are more important in the playoffs. Like, you know, I guess if you look, you know, you look at George Hill's defense versus Lou Will's, obviously has to step up, but you look at the usage, and then you look at, it's just kind of lateral.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's the way that I feel. I feel that it's sort of lateral. I feel like if that's our big move, I mean,
great.
I got to be honest, man. I don't know. It seems a little bit like grasping for straws. Like I can see how it could be better, but especially like given the health thing, like I mean, how much better?
And we've talked about this with Adam Oslo on our last episode. We're still not a healthy team. We've missed Bev for almost 10% of the season.
Yeah.
So there's still not even like real continuity there yet.
So,
which is hard to forget or hard to remember, excuse me, when we're playing so well, right? Like,
so that is an interesting reason though for a yes trade.
Oh.
If you can move Pat Bev for a lateral move, because honestly, I don't even know that it's an upgrade. If you can move Pat Bev for a lateral move that's a locker room fit.
I don't even know.
I mean, I think that you might have to do it.
Who is that, though?
I look, this thought is just hitting me right now, but I mean, like, we've seen this kind of same record with Pat Bev over the past couple seasons.
Yeah.
On the wrong side of 30.
For sure.
We're
like going after Pat Bev right now.
If you have a couple of deep playoff series, do you start to worry about the durability?
That's fair.
And if we're, you know, we're already playing, say, 10, 20% of our games without Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Is just an available player better than no player?
So that's the thing. Like, an available player is, I'll have to look it up. We'll have to do a deep dive on this maybe for next episode of, like, who makes the same as Pat Bev, who's as good a fit.
Terry Rozier.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Like, who would get moved? There's so many margins that the Clippers would have to figure out for this trade that the other team would just have to be fine with.
Yeah.
Which I just don't see. But we are going to talk about someone who the Clippers did trade for and signed to a contract that does not kick in until next year, but has so far, some people do not believe that it was money well spent. That is Luke Kennard, what's going on? They want him to shoot, and then he only gets 4 minutes. Like, he did shoot, and he missed, but then he only got 4 minutes. So I think the signals being sent to Luke Kennard are kind of odd right now. Like, the just shoot the ball signal, I totally understand. But then, you know, in the Nets game, you get 4 minutes of playing time.
Yeah.
So
two field goal attempts, both of which were from three.
He let it fly
in the same possession.
He let it fly. But it just, there's a, I don't know if there's a fit issue because we haven't even really seen it like trying to be worked on yet.
Look,
you know,
I think the big issue was Kyrie Irving was just cooking us.
Yeah, for sure.
And Luke Kennard does not help that issue.
But he played Ty Lue talked about how like the reason he played Lou Will or Luke Kennard was because of the game flow. And you're like, but Lou wasn't.
What do you
exactly,
want him to say?
I don't know that Luke was playing bad.
Luke Kennard stinks.
Yeah, he stinks right now. No, that would be kind of refreshing. But no,
he stinks. That'd be the greatest thing for a coach to say.
Yeah. Well, he stinks.
It would either end a player's career or motivate them so hard.
Right now, I think it would maybe not motivate Kennard. What's he got? Does he just got to see the ball go in the hoop a couple times? Does he need just time against the Cavs? Like, Bev is out, and he's not getting playing time.
Yeah.
It's an inauspicious start to his Clippers career.
It is. And, I mean, we've remarked on this. I feel like that's why he keeps coming up every week.
We talk about this a lot.
I don't understand what the fit is.
Yeah.
I thought that his role was going to be different than it is. You know,
I thought he was going to be distributing to maybe Lou Willmore or other
people.
I thought
that he was going to be, you know, running point a little bit more, not being used so heavily as just a spot up shooter.
People talked about wanting Luke Kennard to maybe get run with the starting lineup before the season started.
I teased the idea.
No, that's what I mean. People thought the role was going to be like, even if he's not the best distributor, if you're distributing to what at the time we were going to think was Kawhi, PG, Mook, and Serge, it's not going to be all bad.
So is this a conversation that we need to have where it's similar to the Terrence Mann thing where, man, I'm not going to lie, I was not happy with the production we were getting from Terrence Mann.
I'm psyched on it now.
And I think a lot of that was they had to cater their role more to what he can do, which is,
yeah,
you know, you can play some hard defense. He's not a true point, so you can't really use him in that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kennard, we're using him in the Landry Shamet role, essentially. And I just,
which he can do so much more.
I just think he can do more, and I think that it is
dribble
getting,
more. He can make, yeah, like.
I thought he can dribble more. You know, he can run more.
He can run.
He can breathe a lot more. So I think that it might be just kind of a similar thing where we need to cater the role a little bit more to him, or, you know, like, once again, this comes down to, like, an asset management thing. And
yeah. Some of this is on Ty Lue, too.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Just give him more run with the starters or stagger him with, I don't know. Got to put him in position to succeed. I like that idea. Hope it happens against the Cavs.
I mean, I'm not expecting a full turnaround, but
I'm expecting look, there's one thing I know about this league. You live and die by every single bounce of the ball. And that's how your opinion should be formed. No big picture. That about wraps it up. I think that loss, man, I'm frustrated, but that was a fun game of basketball.
It was a really fun game to watch. So.
Thursday's episode, we're going to have a recap of Clippers versus Cavs, about a hopeful victory. Talking about what we want to see more of from the Clippers on Thursday. Of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, if you haven't yet, the Nick Batum Battalion T-shirt Boutique Bombatician ends on the 8th when the shirts arrive. We will be picking a raffle. You got to put a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know about it.
Yeah.
At shavings.podcast@gmail.com or at Locked On Clips. Just tweet at us. We'll put you in the raffle.
Yeah,
for doesn't sure. even have to be a 5-star review.
No,
all of them have been 5 stars so far, which is kind of surprising. But we'll still put you in. If
they really want the shirt,
if you live super far away, you might have to split shipping, but we'll figure all that out when we get it. Will, where can these people review us other than Apple Podcasts, or even listen to us if they're?
You can't actually review us anywhere other than Apple Podcasts. Sorry, that's why this contest is kind of limited to Apple Podcasts.
Yeah,
we will
don't
try
blame
to
us. Blame Apple.
We will try to expand that more in the future. But you can also listen to us, which is super important. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Deezer. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clips if you just, you know, you need to listen, but you don't want to use your hands. Happens to me all the time. So thank you so much for rocking with us. As I said up top, we come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
We could not be happier to bring you this Clippers news.
Heck, yeah. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.